Welcome and thank you for joining us for the service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. This is from the May 25th, 2025 service at Plymouth, the sixth Sunday of Easter. The sermon will be delivered by Pastor Peter Blank.
We come this morning just full of ourselves. Concerns, our plans, our opinions,
our schedules.
In this moment, help us empty our minds of the relentless I and make space for us.
Enable us to put down our worries,
set aside our assumptions and our schemes. Open our hearts to recognize your love in action in our lives.
Reassure us.
Next is the hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise.
God, mark us with grace and blessing. Smile. The whole country will see how you work, and all the godless nations will see how you save. God, let people thank you and enjoy you. Let all people thank and enjoy you. Let all far-flung people become happy and shout their happiness because you judge them fair and square. You tend the far-flung peoples. God, let people thank and enjoy you. Let people thank and enjoy you. Earth, display your exuberance. You mark us with blessing. O God, our God. You mark us with blessings. O God, from earth's four corners, honor him. This is the word of the Lord.
Next is the hymn, Spirit Song.
Thank you.
I'm preaching from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. I too am reading from the Eugene Peterson translation, The Message, and both Bill and I have been coordinating our work at reading from this modern translation to try and bring a freshness to all that God's Word is saying to us. Sometimes we cover very familiar passages, like last week, Psalm 19. But today, looking at the book of Acts, we see the new church, after Jesus' resurrection, what it's doing, how it's including new members, even those that aren't Jewish. And so we turn to chapter 16, and we meet a new individual, not only non-Jewish, but also a business owner who happens to be a woman. We pick up the story of the adventures of Paul in verse 9. That night, Paul had a dream. A Macedonian man stood on the far shore and called across the sea, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." The dream gave Paul his map. He went to work at once, getting things ready to cross over to Macedonia. All the places had come together. He knew now for sure that God had called them to preach in Macedonia, and even more importantly, it being a Roman colony. So putting out from the harbor at Troas, we made a straight run for Samothrace. The next day we tied up with the new city and walked from there to Philippi, the main city in the part of Macedonia. On the Sabbath, we left the city and went down to the river where we heard that there was a prayer meeting. We took our place with the women who had gathered there and talked with them. One woman, Lydia, was from Thyatira and a dealer in expensive textiles, known to be a God-fearing woman. As she listened with intensity to what was being said, the Master, our God, gave her a trusting heart, and she believed. After which she was baptized, along with everyone in her household. She said in a surge of hospitality, "If you're confident that I'm in with you, believe in Jesus the Master truly, then come home with me and be my guest." We hesitated, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. This is the word of the Lord. What does it mean to live with open hearts and open doors in a divided world? I remember hearing the anxiousness, maybe I should call it that, the anxiousness that as last Thanksgiving there were family gatherings that were being planned for and tables set and meals cooked for, and yet the anxiousness was regarding what conversation would happen around the table. These are days that when we, our families, our friends gather, that often the table talk is less than comfortable. We live in a time when family dinners can be minefields, when even churches are tempted to retreat into comfort or uniformity. Well, Acts chapter 16 offers us a witness from the early church that couldn't be more relevant to the world we live in today. We meet Lydia, a businesswoman, a seeker of God, and the first documented convert to Christianity in Europe. Christianity is spreading in those days. Her story is one of a person who has a spiritual hunger, radical hospitality, and even deep courage. She models what it means to have her heart open to the gospel and her doors open to the community. With her open heart and open door, in her doing this, Lydia becomes not just a host, she becomes a bridge builder. Not just a follower of Christ, but a leader in the new movement of this new church. Her home itself becomes a church. Her table, as she sets it, becomes a sanctuary. And her heart becomes a space where God's Spirit stirs. This passage unfolds during Paul's second missionary journey. Paul and his companions travel northwest across the Aegean Sea to Philippi, prominent Roman colony, and Lydia, originally from Thyatira in modern-day Turkey, is likely in Philippi for business, trading in the region's area of her famous purple cloth, hence the purple scattered among us today. Okay, lavender. I always get corrected on which what the color is, you know. I see in primary colors and all the rest are just colors. Our text tells us that Lydia is a worshiper of God, a Gentile who's drawn to the Jewish faith. Her heart's already open when Paul begins to speak. And we're told the Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly. And that eagerness wasn't passive. That openness wasn't at all. It was active, responsive, even transformative. She doesn't just listen, she acts. She and her whole household are baptized. She insists that Paul and his companions stay with her in her home. Not only is her heart open, she opens her doors. Lydia's home becomes the first Christian gathering place in Europe. Think about that. We're told that unaware we often will entertain angels. Well, in this case, with Lydia hosting Paul and the others, she starts something that takes on a life of its own. The church in the West is born not in a synagogue, a religious holy place, not in a temple, not even a palace. No. It's born in a woman's home because her heart and her doors are open. Dr. Leah Shade suggests that Lydia's table is what we might call today a purple space. In these days of divides between who's red and who's blue, the blending of those colors becomes what?
Purple.
Not lavender. I had to say it. I just had to go there. I'll apologize later. In this purple space, it's a place for holy and hard conversation among diverse people. Imagine the scene. Fresh bread, wine, purple cloths, prayers rising, and then around the table, people of different backgrounds, differing temperaments, differing convictions on what they believe is right or wrong. They're all sharing one meal. And more than that, they're sharing their lives together. I wonder what conversations unfolded in that sacred purple space. We didn't read on in chapter 16 of Acts, but right after the story where we stopped, Paul and Silas free a slave girl from demonic exploitation. But the text tells us it took several days for them to take action. It makes me think and wonder why they hesitated. The fact that they wrestled with the implications, and maybe, they processed all of that at Lydia's table. So let me take you into a made-up scenario. Imagine it this way. Paul and Silas, after having been in the city, preaching where they could, explaining what God's doing to those who would listen, after a long day of that, they return to Lydia's home and she welcomes them with food and shelter. They share a meal and pray. And as Silas begins to process what happened that day, there was a girl, he says. The girl followed us. She was enslaved, used by others, possessed. Lydia replies, "Oh, that's Salome. She has no freedom. She earns nothing for herself, and it's just wrong. Paul hesitates. But slavery is built into the economy here. Our scriptures don't outright forbid it, but if we intervene, we could put you, your home, and our mission at risk. Lydia responds to Paul, Jesus didn't tell us to love scripture more than our neighbor. Jesus told us to love God and love our neighbor. And that means opening our hearts not just to ideas, but also to action. That imagined conversation may have changed everything. Because the next day, Paul and Silas act. They free the girl, Salome. They disrupt the system, and they, if you read on in the latter part of chapter 16, are thrown in jail. When they are released, they go straight back to Lydia's house, and she opens the door to them. Open hearts, open doors. That's what Lydia models, and that's what the church is called to model in these days. Open hearts, open doors, especially in our polarized age. To live with open hearts means letting the Spirit disturb what's comfortable. Comfortable in us, comfortable between us, comfortable in our settings together. To live with open doors means making room for those whose presence may challenge us. People who may stretch us, or even people who may require something from us. For us, it's easy to allow permission for a camper to be in our parking lot, but quite something else to say, come, stay at my house, eat meals at my table. It's not easy. Purple spaces never are. After all, Lydia risked her business. Paul risked his freedom. But the church was born in that space, in that risk, in that welcome. So when we come to this table of meal, where Jesus sets the table and invites us to come and join. My blood spilt on your behalf, my body broken for you. This is not a red table or a blue table. It's not a liberal or conservative table. It is the Lord's table. And here we are all welcome. At this table, we remember the body of Christ broken for the healing not only of us, but the world. And we remember that we belong not to one political tribe or another, not to one ideology, but we belong to God. That's the beginning, and that's the end of it. That changes everything. So come. Bring your full self. Your questions? Yes, there are those. Your convictions? Those too. Your burdens? Yes. Bring your purple heart and also bring your open hands. And most of all, wear purple and even lavender. Had to add that. Wear purple, literally and metaphorically. As a reminder of Lydia, a new church leader, a reminder to keep our hearts open, keep our doors open, to keep the church open to the Spirit's new thing coming our way. I can't finish this sermon alone. Because we are stitched together, we're put together like Lydia's purple cloth. We will finish in song, that as this sermon is ended, as this worship service ends, we offer up one voice, one hope, and one hymn of unity.
Next is the hymn, God of Grace and God of Glory. Next is the hymn, Shine, Jesus, Shine.
Shine, Jesus, shine. shall guide and protect and strengthen you. In all things may God show you the way. Amen.
Amen. Amen.